KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, April 21st, 2005, for broadcast at this time. On today's program, we'll hear a debate between the two candidates for mayor of the city of Omaha, incumbent Mayor Mike Fahey and challenger Dave Friend, the only debate scheduled between the two candidates. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the debate are Rob McCartney and Julie Cornell from KETV Channel 7.
Hello and welcome to this special report. I'm Rob McCartney.
And I'm Julie Cornell.
KETV News Watch 7 and the Omaha Press Club welcome the candidates for Mayor of Omaha, incumbent Mike Fahey, seeking his second term in office, and the challenger, Dave Friend. Thank you both for joining us today.
A quick explanation of the rules. This program will last 1 hour. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to respond to each question. And then each candidate will be allowed a 30-second rebuttal if he so chooses. Both candidates also will have 2 minutes each for a closing statement. Questions were formed by the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. Neither campaign has been allowed to see them. We're joined here at the Omaha Press Club today by a live audience, which includes supporters of both candidates. We ask that you withhold any applause or reaction until our debate is complete.
Now, a coin toss just before the debate determined who will take the first question and set also the closing statement. Dave Friend won the coin toss. He has selected to make the last closing statement. Then Mr. Fahey chose to go to answer the first question second. That means we begin with Mr. Friend. First question. Omaha has voted to annex the city of Elkhorn. There are concerns about spreading Omaha's services too thin by doing that. Address that issue and whether this is something Omaha had to do now.
That is an issue that I've addressed many times before, and before I get into it, let me say thank you to the Press Club and Channel 7 for hosting and televising this. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you to all the other attendees who are here. I appreciate that. The Elkhorn annexation is an issue that was avoidable. In my opinion, it was lack of planning that created the crisis that became the Elkhorn annexation. Certainly, Omaha could not afford to have their westward growth stunted if Elkhorn did, in fact, grow. The problem became when Omaha did not respond to Elkhorn's overtures back in October of 2002 to create a system similar to Ralston where Elkhorn could, for the foreseeable future, continue to exist as their own entity while Omaha grew around Elkhorn. In fact, Elkhorn agreed to shrink their zoning boundary jurisdiction lines, which would have allowed Omaha to continue to grow. In fact, it would have been a greater growth area than they currently enjoy under the zoning boundary lines now. The bottom line is it didn't have to be done now. I am extremely concerned that Omaha cannot provide the services for the inner city and other parts of the city, as evidenced by police response time that's up, the last snow plow and the removal of that snow, and I think we could have avoided it, and we're depending upon Elkhorn's fiscal conservatism and their $7 million cash reserves to bail us out of the cost of annexing Elkhorn. I would not have done it that way.
Mr. Fahey, you have a minute and a half.
Thank you very much, Rob. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank also the Omaha Press Club for hosting the debate. I want to thank all of you for joining us here today. I hope you have a great time. I'm not so sure it's going to be that much for Dave and I, but I'm happy to have you here. Well, first off, I made the decision to annex Elkhorn looking on what was the best long-term interest of the city of Omaha. I did not take politics into that consideration whatsoever. This was done for the right reasons for the long-term growth. And it was done because of what Elkhorn did, not what we did. Dave is correct when he said they made overtures a couple years back. But the overture was not to ever annex. That's not in the long-term best interest. Their efforts in January and subsequently thereafter to initiate a proactive expansion of their zoning would effectively block the city of Omaha from State Street all the way down to Harrison. It would be like building a Berlin Wall in the westward expansions. Our city runs on a grid system, runs east and west. That would not be in the long-term best interest of the city of Omaha. So we had a plan. We executed the plan. We brought them in. We gave them one last chance to see, let's stop this. Let's all sit back and take a deep breath. Let's agree to do some things in the legislature. Would it give everyone a breathing room? They chose not to do that. I had no other choice, but we executed our plan. And at that time, our plan was initiated within 12 hours, and we annexed the city of Elkhorn. I think it was in the long-term best interest of the city of Omaha, and I still do it. I do it again tomorrow.
Mr. Friend, you have 30 seconds.
I did not accuse anyone of politics in this. What I said was that this was a lack of planning. I understand that the city reacted to what Elkhorn did. I still maintain, I did then, and I still maintain to this day, this was all avoidable. With a long-term plan in place and having talked to Elkhorn, and not just this year, but in the last 3.5 years, I think all of this could have been avoided. And again, I am seriously concerned about how we're going to provide and pay for those services in Elkhorn as a part of the City of Omaha's master plan.
30 seconds, Mr. Page.
Normally when we do an annexation package, we're providing police services, fire services, public work services, et cetera, when we take in an SID. This is a little different because all of those particular services are already enjoyed by the City of Elkhorn. So in that sense, we're much better off in the annexation of Elkhorn than we would be an ordinary sanitary improvement district. So again, in the long-term best interest, I think it was a move that was predicated by the moves that Elkhorn made. Again, we had gave them a way out at the last minute. They chose not to accept it. They were going to move forward no matter what we did, and we made the decision with the best interest for the long-term interest of the City of Omaha.
Mr. Fahey, police response times have been a recurring issue in this campaign. What do you think the response time actually is? What should it be, and how do we get to that point?
I think the Omaha World Herald did an excellent job of analyzing over the last 8 years what response times have been, what they continue to be, and the ebbs and flows of what makes those things go up and down. They have not changed anything in the last 8 years. In fact, in the last 2 quarters, they have gone down and continue to go down since we've added 37 more police officers in the day that I took office. So at the end of the day, it's a management tool for the police management. I'm very comfortable because of the actions we took early on in this administration when we introduced community policing. As you know, crime rates were going up 4 years ago. Because of the introduction of the community policing with the new management team, we have adopted community policing, and over the last 4 years, our crime rates have gone down over 14%. Violent crime has gone down 3.7%. So I think we're executing the plan quite well. I just don't think that the response times are that big of an issue.
Mr. Friend.
I think the response times are a critical issue, and I've heard about it in the last 11 months virtually everywhere I've gone. Police issues, crime, and the police response to crime and being able to handle those issues has been the number one issue I've heard other than taxation. People are concerned. The World Herald did do a story where they measured, based on the data that was available, that it takes an average of 12 and a half minutes. 12 and a half minutes for the police to get to your door in the most emergency circumstances. That's unacceptable. What can we do about it? Rather than just criticize it, what can we do about it? First of all, I would realign resources immediately. We have police officers that do a wonderful job. They tow junk cars. They need to be on the front lines providing this 9/11 response. Number two, the 37 additional officers that my opponent speaks of. That's true. Where are they today? They're in training. The budget for this year, for 05, for uniform patrol, the first responders, is less than it was in 2003. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we need the officers as first responders. I would realign priorities. I would move those officers in non-emergency response positions into emergency response positions and get a handle on this and effectively measure how we deliver response time, because today I'm convinced with my 25 years of experience, we do not currently accurately measure police response times, and that's a concern to me. It's one of the first things that I would rectify when I take office. It's an executive order. It can be done overnight.
Mr. Fahey.
Yes, I think the response times issue was, if you compare putting more police officers on the street, which is what I think my opponent was saying, that you're going to obviously diminish or decrease the response times. It's been proven that is not necessarily the answer. Kansas City, Missouri has more officers per capita than we have, and the response times have continued to be over 15 minutes. So the fact of putting more officers on there doesn't necessarily relate or amount to having a reduction in response times. I don't think that. I leave that to the chief of police. I think they're doing an outstanding job, and the numbers prove it, because crime is down 14%.
Mr. Friend?
I think that the officers who are out there are doing an outstanding job, and my hat's off to them. What I would tell you is, as a manager, what I understand is more police officers do impact response time. I've studied this. I did this for 25 years, and I know that the number one issue that impacts response time is not total number of assigned officers to a police department. It's number of officers in geographic areas that reduce response time, and it's been proven. I've got the facts to back it up, and I'm convinced that's what we need to do.
Question for Mr. Friend. Starting out, Mr. Fahey, you have supported community policing, but we still don't see many police officers walking the beat. Why haven't you pushed more for that? And Mr. Friend, where did you come down on the issue when you were in the police department, and what would you do differently?
First of all, when I was in the police department, community policing by many other names is still the same function and practice. You can put a different name on it. Community policing could be problem-oriented policing, problem-solving policing. When I was a police captain, which was the last rank that I had attained before I retired, I had made several recommendations, but I was not a policymaker for the police department. My role was to make recommendations. I've never been in a public policymaking decision. I do, however, support community policing, but let me explain to you what community policing truly is. It's not just an officer walking a beat. Community policing, in its sense, truly means not just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. It means addressing the underlying issues that create the police calls and the police response that follows that. It's working with government. It's working with social service agencies. It's working with every entity, every resource you can bring to bear on a problem to eliminate the problem, not just officers walking the beat. My opponent promised you 4 years ago that he would have officers walking beats in every neighborhood in this city. The fact is that has not occurred. The fact is that's not viable. Nobody who knows policing would make a promise like that because we don't have enough officers to walk beats in every neighborhood. It's a community collaborative effort that brings together every resource and not just the police to solve those problems. Community policing works where it has been tried, but please understand community policing is more expensive in the beginning. So you have to make that financial commitment before you can really move forward with community policing. And I've watched the police department's budget and the general fund reduce over the last several years, not increase.
First off, 4 years ago, we wondered why crime rates were going up. It was about the policing policy that the prior administration, had adopted, was zero tolerance. My opponent was a captain on the police force at that time, and the numbers were actually going in the wrong direction. We initiated community policing, and we did talk about officers walking the beat. It was an illustration about what community policing can and should be. We looked at what New York City was doing, what was Kansas City was doing, what cities closer to home, Des Moines, Iowa. Lincoln, Nebraska, for 25 years, has had a community policing policy. Their numbers have been going down, so we adopted that policy. What it means is trying to work with the precincts to develop strategies and plans that are germane to the problems that those particular areas of town are experiencing. The problems they have in Northwest Omaha are completely different than the problems they have in Northeast Omaha, and you have to have a community policing plan that addresses those particular strategies. And what we do is we allow those things at the CompStat meetings. Those are meetings to use technology to track all the crimes in the city. They have them every week. We sit down and we devise a plan. We ask the precinct captains at the time, do you need more resources in that area to address those problems? It's up to the captains to devise the plan. The Omaha Police Management supports those people. It's because of that type of technology and that type of planning is why our crime rates are going down. So I'm very, very pleased with the results that we've received so far through community policing and look forward to the crime rates continuing to go down.
Mr. Friend, 30 seconds.
My opponent is confusing something that's very important. I would love to have New York City's crime rate. I would love to have Los Angeles, California's crime rate. Crime rate, my opponent refers to crime rate going down. It's not. Overall, crime has gone down. Crime rate is the measure of crimes per 100,000 people, so you can do a comparison. If his community policing that he's instituted now in the past 4 years is working, then explain to me why our crime rate compared to large cities is anywhere from 1.5 to 3 times higher in Omaha, Nebraska in the last 2 full calendar years.
Well, my opponent is trying to tell you is per capita, that number is true. I don't know if anybody in Omaha, Nebraska wants to move to New York. What we're dealing with here is what is our experience here? If you look at the Omaha Police Department's website, you can measure what we've been measuring the same way for the last 8 years, and our crime rates have gone down 14%. Our overall violent crime rates have gone down 3.7% since we instituted community policing. I think we have a great management team, and they're executing the plan very well.
This is for Mr. Fahey. Mayor Fahey's administration has been criticized for not moving quickly enough on resolving road condition projects until after a World Herald investigation. If that isn't the case, how do you sell your actions to drivers? And Mr. Friend, what makes you think you would have seen this any sooner or done a better job?
Well, first off, we talked about road construction 4 years ago, and we instituted a plan. We did a street resurfacing program that we've had in effect for 4 years. We did a crack sealant program that has diminished the number of potholes we've had on the street. We did institute the overall looking at the overall picture of how we go out for bids on major road construction projects based upon the problems we have with WBE. And that was precipitated First, we started the project first. I don't want to argue with the Omaha World Herald, but we actually had our plan in place and our task force was formed before they started their study. The interesting thing that came out of that study was the same recommendations actually that they came out with. So we're very pleased. We got together all the engineers, construction people. We had the most important people at the table, which was the utility companies and, of course, the city of Omaha. We recommended making sure that we have clear understanding about qualifications for contractors. It was too easy to be a contractor to the city of Omaha. We had to make sure we were doing work days instead of we were going to use calendar days to measure the time from the start to finish versus work days. There was too much loophole in that. We said we had to do a better job of working with the utility companies to make sure we had overall plans up front so they knew when they could get in there, when they had to get out of there. And we decided that the best way about it was to have the director of the Public Works Department be the overall person in charge of coordinating that to measure the success on an ongoing basis. Now, the other part about it was we thought it was very important to do a better job of communicating with the public. We have a plan in place. We executed it on our first RFP since we brought those recommendations forward, and that is in place on 144th Street project. Out of time.
Mr. Fine.
I think my specific question on road construction is how would I have seen it sooner and done a better job? First, it would not have taken a task force for me to recognize that it was difficult getting around Omaha. Last summer, we had under construction every major thoroughfare in this city west of Interstate 680 from the city limits north to the city limits south. I think it was pretty evident we had a problem. How would I have done it better? The first thing I would have done was implemented what I'd learned in 4 years on the MUD board. I chaired the Construction and Operations Committee. I understand construction. I'm not an engineer, but I understand how to get the job done. The first thing that I would have done would have instituted pre-qualification. By the way, one of the task force recommendations still has not been implemented. It's been 4 years. He's had 4 years to fix this problem. Road construction is a problem. If you pre-qualify a bidder, all that means is that just like anybody you would hire to do work for you, you ask them to show a resume, determine that they've got the people, the equipment, the means and the methods to complete that job. If you don't, what you get is low bid. And we've seen what we get with low bid in that one particular contractor. I think that in order to be a successful leader, you have to be involved. You have to be informed. You have to be here. You have to spend time talking to people out on the streets. That's what I've done for the last 11 and a half months. It would not have taken me a task force. If that's the management style that my opponent uses, that's fine. But it's been over 6 months since the task force issued its report, and we still don't have all the recommendations in place today to move forward, and some of those take public policy changes. What are we waiting for?
Mr. Bennett?
I would disagree. First off, I was very involved, and I have continued to be involved. Those task forces did come out about 6 months ago. Dave's right. I attended every one of those monthly meetings at MUD, OPPD, and I didn't see Dave there. We were there very much involved in this operation from the start to the finish. We have recommended all the task force recommendations. We have put them in place in the first RFP that we've issued since the task force recommendations. If you recall, we held off on this particular RFP until we could adopt those recommendations. We have every one of those task force recommendations in that plan, with the exception of the overall ultimate first part of the plan, which was already done prior to this thing. So we already executed on the plan. I'm very comfortable where we are.
Sorry. Well, first of all, the mayor didn't see me there because I'm not the mayor yet. Secondarily, I'm on the MUD board, and I was briefed at every stage of those task force recommendations by our people that represented MUD in that task force. My point is, it shouldn't take a task force to tell us that we've got problems with road construction in Omaha. It's also an issue that my opponent, in his literature, promised people, and I will quote it for you. He said, and I'm paraphrasing somewhat, that he recognized road construction takes too long.
Mr. Friend, continuing the issue of pre-qualification, were road construction companies getting a walk with the city when it came to completing projects on time? And if so, how would you realistically get the city to stop that?
First of all, they were given a walk not because we've got bad contractors, but because we had lack of oversight by the city, lack of enforcement by the city for a variety of reasons. I'm not blaming the city employees whose job that was to oversee that. We've got problems in the Fort Street project that was long overdue, finally finished, and now we're sending the contractor back out again to fix the same problem. Lack of oversight. What I would have done instantly was changed public policy through the city council to require pre-qualification. I would also have created a business model where we give incentives, just like the state does, to finish a project early and to mandate that in those cases where they finished late, they paid a penalty. Create a business model, let business know what the model is ahead of time, and then stand back and watch how well they work. Whether you like the overpass on Dodge as an example, look at how quickly they've put it up. They've been offered incentives. That's a business model. You have to be informed. You have to be involved. You have to understand what's going on in order to fix these problems. Pre-qualification and calendar dates are part of it. Some of that's been implemented. The biggest one hasn't. We're still suffering with the potential of having to go with low bid. In my opinion, if you want to get on top of a problem, you need to change the public policy now, today, not wait until you let a new contract. We need to get on top of this. We're still suffering. The World Herald did a story, and another local news station did a story on road construction yesterday. We still do not have this problem resolved.
Mr. Pay, minute and a half.
Well, we have addressed this problem, and I'm not sure Dave understands this low bid, best bid. We always have had an option. We can always take the best qualified bid, and that's what we've been doing. We try to take the low bid where it makes sense, but we have acted very, I think, expeditiously when we've had problems in the city of Omaha, particularly when it comes to road construction. This is a little bit more Monday morning quarterbacking. All the recommendations my opponent has talked about were the recommendations that came out of the task force back in October. We did not hear those recommendations from Dave until after that point. There's nothing that what my opponent is saying is not in our recommendations. We have incentives in the recommendation, and they're good ideas. We borrowed them from other places. So we're very comfortable with where we are right now and look forward to working more with the utility companies.
30 seconds, Mr. Frank.
In fact, not hearing those recommendations coming from me is not true. I held a press conference on Fort Street before September 8th, before the task force recommendations were out, before MUD even had put those together as a part of one member of this committee. I went a month before the task force recommendations and said, this is what we need to do. And amazingly enough, 80% of what I said ended up in the task force recommendations, not because I'm clairvoyant, but because I know what it takes to get the job done. I did it for 4 years as an MUD director.
And my point only was that we had been working on this with the MUD board, with the OPPD board. They know exactly where we stood on the recommendations. So it's not, if you were getting updated, I'm sure that's what was happening. So we can debate this back and forth. At the end of the day, it's what we really want here. If we want better roads, we want to do it more timely, more efficiently, and we want to make everyone happy in that regard.
Mayor Fahey, under the last 4 years, we've seen budget cuts, hiring freezes, and delayed projects at the city level because of the economic situation. The city's civilian workforce is down by several hundred. These are the people who repair potholes and mow the grass, among other things. If you're reelected, will those jobs be restored, and will delayed city projects get a boost? And Mr. Friend, how do you think you could have managed the city's financial situation better without a tax increase?
Yeah. Well, my opponent has chosen his way. He's going to raise taxes in 2006. He said so already. I have been fighting tooth and nail not to raise. That's the easy way out. Raising taxes is the easy way. What you try to do is manage yourself through a crisis. My business experience, building a business, meeting a payroll, and working in a budget gave me the experience that I really need to address that problem. Controlling spending was one of the things we talked about 4 years ago. I think we've done a great job of not only talking about it, but executing that plan. Spending in my 4 years has gone up 1.4% each year, no tax increases. My 4 years ago, the spending went up 6.4%. Now, there's a great difference in that. We did have to make some decisions. We had to prioritize public safety after 9/11. I don't regret that. But in one way or the other, unless you take the easy way out of just raising taxes, you have to figure out a way to manage through it. I give a great deal of credit to the civilian workforce. They are the ones who bore the burden on this thing. They're the ones who had to suffer through that. We did not fill those jobs. We did not replace those jobs through attrition. At the end of the day, you're right. There's 20% fewer workers. But at the end of the day also, we would not be where we are in providing those services. It wasn't the hard work of our civilian workforce. My hat is off to them. I've told them time and time again, we appreciate the sacrifices you have made, and we will try to replace some of those jobs. That's the idea. But we're going to do it incrementally as we can afford it. I'm not sure we're out of the woods yet.
Mr. Friend?
The only thing we agree on is that I'm not sure we're out of the woods yet either. But speaking of taking the easy way out, my opponent raised your property taxes in 2002. His commercials don't tell you that. He advocated a property tax increase in 2003, and the city council said no. There have been 12 or 14 different fee increases in his administration in the last 3.5 years. Call it a fee or call it a tax, it's a three-letter word that takes money out of my pocket. I did talk about having to raise taxes in 2006. I'm still concerned how we're going to manage the budget based on some of the things that we have given in terms of labor agreements down the road. Mr. Mayor, you told people in April that you thought there was going to be a property tax increase in 06, and you reaffirmed that again in May. You said it twice before I ever even brought the issue up. I am concerned about how we're going to reinstitute some of the civilian workforce that provide the wonderful support to our police and fire and take care of our parks and some of those other issues. Some of the things I think we need to look at would be, first of all, not having given away $868,000 in sales tax bonuses to employees who didn't earn those bonuses. They didn't increase efficiency or increase productivity. They were given a bonus as a part of their 2004 contract where they took nothing that year. You can defer responsibility, Mr. Mayor, but you cannot defer accountability on this when it comes time to pay the bill.
Happy to talk about this issue. I think we did an outstanding job of managing our way through that. The property tax increase that he talked about was the property tax proposed in the 2001 budget by former Mayor Hal Dobb. We were based on our advice by the finance director. We left that alone. Obviously, it was reduced from 1.5% to 8.8%. We have done a great job, I think, managing through crisis. It's not easy. And we talk about the civilian workforce. They have done a Herculean job of providing services for the city. I don't think we should diminish what the contributions those people have made at all. If it wasn't for the people,
I'm not diminishing anything that anybody's done in the civilian workforce or the police or fire workforce for that matter. What I'm talking about is the credit card budgeting that we're looking at down the road and having to pay off what we've promised these employees who bargained in good faith. That's my concern, not only restoring the budget with those civilian employees and those services they provide, but how are we going to pay the millions and millions and millions of dollars in deferred payments to those employees who bargained those in good faith and restored those civilian positions down the road?
We're about halfway through the debate, moving into economic development now. Mr. Friend, which section of the city, and we're looking for specifics, which section of the city should be on the front burner for immediate economic aid, and what's the most vital need right now?
Sales tax increases. The city functions almost 50% of the general fund revenue that comes in is sales tax based. The city of Omaha needs to do a better job working with the chamber, which is why I would have immediately appointed, and I said I'm going to, the cabinet level of economic development director. That's a job that needs to work with the chamber and identify just what you talked about. You want specifics about where? Dundee, downtown Millard, Benson, other areas of North and South Omaha, Florence, where there are too many closed storefronts. Two blocks from here, there are closed storefronts on 16th Street. We've spent about $2 billion in the last 5 years on downtown redevelopment, and we still have a string of closed storefronts. My plan to bring a retail renaissance offers incentives similar to a tax increment financing plan to create storefronts, which create jobs, which drive payroll tax, which create sales tax. 50% of what we depend on to make ends meet in our general fund is sales tax. Before we come back to you and even talk about property tax increases, we ought to be working and demonstrating that we're doing everything we can to drive that sales tax portion of the city general fund budget. Again, it's almost 50%. I haven't seen any plans other than talking about looking down the road, looking down at the future. I've got two solid plans, economic development director, retail renaissance. They're both on my website.
Mr. Fahey?
Well, economic development is something I'm very proud. We have not only talked about it, we've executed on it. And we've worked with the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce to do just that. And the proof is in the pudding. We have brought companies to Omaha on my watch. If I just name a few, Aflac, AAA Nebraska, Pacific Life, all of those companies were new companies working with the chamber that we brought to Omaha. Now, I'm telling you, you could talk to a lot of different people. But when those people came in to see us, they did not want to talk to a director of economic development. They want to talk to the mayor. The mayor is the best person in the world to sell this city. I think we do a great job by doing that. And I would not shuffle that responsibility. And I'm not a big believer in redundancy. Why would we create another $100,000 position in the city of Omaha when you should be doing the job of yourself? No one wants to delegate that particular opportunity away, so we will not do that. And we have been doing other economic developments. With all the tight economic times in the city of Omaha, we have pushed that momentum into our older business districts. Just look what's happened on South 24th Street. Those storefronts are not open, or not empty, Dave. Those are full. Those are people. The ethnicity has changed down there, but those people are scrambling out. They're scrubbing out on living down there. We need to step in there with CDBG money, which we are doing, and we're going to improve those streetscapes. Along South 24th Street, we're doing the same thing along North 24th Street. We were absolutely one of the driving forces behind the development of Destination Midtown. Downtown North, we just made the announcement today about a couple hours ago of the huge 80-block development right downtown here. That's not just talking about, that's doing something about it.
Mr. Friend?
There are other issues that need to be resolved here. I haven't seen the city working cooperatively or talking to the legislature about LB 775 business incentive issues. We just lost 200-plus jobs in the last 90 days to Iowa. Iowa's got a $500 million venture capital fund to attract small businesses. The Dakota Dunes are taking business away from us because they have no state income sales tax. So, I'm sorry, no state income tax. We are missing the boat on economic development, and we need to start working now, because 3 or 4 years from now is when you'll see the results from the process today.
Mr. Pate.
We have been working in conjunction with the Omaha Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce on this very issue. We were trying to push forward the idea of a unified city-county government at this particular legislature. We backed off that initiative because we thought it was much more important for the state and for the city to have more business incentives for the city of Omaha and the state of Nebraska. We work in a collaborative effort with the Greater Omaha Chamber, with the governor's office. I have been down there to talk about him, making sure he's still advocating for our cause, as well as protecting the needed money that from the attack from the federal government on CDBG funds. We are all like-minded on this issue. Thank you.
Mr. Fahey, what would you do differently to help economically depressed areas of North and South Omaha that's not being done right now?
I would continue our strategy we've already embraced. Omaha by Design is a wonderful new strategy, and it encompasses the things that we learned off our first project, which was the South Omaha redevelopment project, as well as the North Omaha. Then we did Destination Midtown. It's about going into an area, addressing the concerns, but not going in there in a cookie-cutter way. It's about sitting down with the local businesses and neighborhood associations and saying, what would you like to see in your part of town? That's what we did in South Omaha. That's what we did in North Omaha. That's what we did in Destination Midtown. And that is just what we just finished up today with the announcement in Downtown North. We sit down, we develop a plan, then we execute on the plan. The ones we've already done and executed are well known. We've done a lot in South Omaha, I just talked about. North Omaha, we brought in a new company called Cintas. It's been working with Councilman Frank Brown down there to bring more businesses in there. We opened up Dreamland Plaza. We worked with the Martin Luther King exhibit down there. Family Services Building, $4 million investment, 24th and Lake. The Hope Skate, one of the most beautiful skating rinks ever, first one ever in North Omaha. That would not have happened without the City of Omaha involvement. And also, the best thing about that was 33 jobs were created as well. So we're very, very excited about some of the things going on in North Omaha, South Omaha, Destination Midtown. We've got three projects going as well. And the Downtown North project, we announced that Settle Creek Records will be coming in down there as well. So we got a lot of good things happening.
Mr. Friend?
Economically depressed areas are in a number of places all over the city. Specifically, my opponent mentioned South Omaha and the storefronts there. The plan that is underway now was tried and it failed about 20 years ago. You don't restrict the amount of traffic that can get to those businesses and then expect that the businesses are going to increase. Businesses need traffic. They need customers. The bottom line is my retail renaissance plan and a combination of appropriately used community development block grant money would entice jobs. Jobs are what people need. Some of the storefronts he talked about are the family services. My time's up.
Well, I would disagree. The whole idea about the redevelopment on South 24th Street was to bring more customers in there. That's why we listened to during the conversation during the charrettes. What they said is, let's get rid of the diagonal parking. Let's slow down traffic. Let's get rid of the parallel parking. Let's put in diagonal parking. By the result of that, we put in 60 more spaces for customers to come down there, Dave. That's what really about expansion is, taking a different look at this thing. And we're not just talking about, we're executing that plan. It's being done as we speak.
South Omaha, the Plaza de la Raza. It's a great place for people to congregate. The police get calls there all the time. Basically, what you have is people consuming alcohol and urinating in public. That's what we spent some of our CDBG money on down there. What I advocate is a parking garage. You want to provide places for people to come and park and shop? Don't restrict the amount of traffic that can flow by. Make it a parking lot. Make it a parking garage. Give people a place to park so they can get out and walk and shop those businesses.
Mr. Friend, riverfront development has been a priority, but at the same time, some business owners in the old market say they are taking a hit now because of expanded mall shopping in the western part of the city. What would you do to keep Omaha from splitting, essentially, into two cities?
The first thing that we need to do is not negotiate the Target store out of Saddle Creek. My opponents talked about trying to save the Target store. Mr. Mayor, you negotiated a contract with Target that gave them $8 million in TIF to the developer at the Sorenson Parkway Plaza, which reduced their square footage cost. And amazingly, they moved from their Saddle Creek location out west to either the Crossroads location or 72nd Street. The first thing we need to do is to make sure that we have this retail renaissance that occurs is along with the great work the Chamber does to identify areas where we can provide jobs and retail services. People need goods and services. Talk about downtown, redevelopment downtown. You know where people shop? I've talked to thousands of people that live and work downtown. I've talked to them over the last 11 months and throughout the city. They don't shop in Omaha if they're in a hurry. They go over to Council Bluffs and spend their retail dollars over there. We need to have a more focused, aggressive effort on providing those retail establishments that drive revenue, that create jobs, and create payroll taxes. And that's my retail renaissance plan.
Mr. Pate?
Well, again, I think Dave is misunderstanding what the Target Store was all about. We have been in conversation with them for over 5 years. We tried to facilitate the expansion of their current Saddle Creek location to the west. Unfortunately, their landlord is a French company, was not inclined to do that. So they were up against the rock in the hard place. They were presented one of those deals, those offers you can't refuse, by the Simon Brothers at the crossroads. And they, in turn, have made the decision to go there. I wrote them a letter. I had conversations with them. And notwithstanding that, Dave, they are not going to just choose one or two. They're doing both stores. Those are two new stores, and they're creating hundreds of new jobs as well. So we're also going to have Crossroads, and we'll also have 72nd Street once the litigation is out of the way. And we're not being redundant about development in the old market. I think it's important that we do not try to split this thing up, but try to enhance the overall areas. There's no reason in the world that Benson can't be a destination in and of itself just as much as the old market is. And that's what was what Omaha by Design was all about, is how do we make all these places a destination in and of themselves? That's why South Omaha, with its unique ethnicity down there, North Omaha has a rich base of jazz music. We're thinking all these places can be destination. Doesn't mean that Millard couldn't be one. Doesn't mean that Florence can't be one. Those are the types of development that Omaha by Design is embracing. That's what the city of Omaha is embracing. It's important that we stick to this plan. We've got a lot of money invested in Omaha by Design. Now we have to execute this plan. I am convinced the only way to do that is to have a mayor and council who are like-minded to push this plan forward.
Mr. Friend.
My opponent just talked about some of the things that have happened. But the fact remains that we are losing jobs in Omaha. The fact remains that there's no incentive to create small businesses right now. The fact remains that we gave away $8 million in taxpayer money to the Eaton Corporation to clean up contaminated property and entice Target through the developer to get a better deal to move out to 72nd Street. That's exactly what I call splitting the city between East and West.
Mr. Bay.
Well, again, I guess we would just disagree on that. Anytime you take a vacant piece of ground that's sitting there in an industrial site and we turn it into a multi-million-dollar opportunity that generates sales tax dollars, Dave, exactly what you said we should be doing, why wouldn't we do that to support them? It takes incentives. We're limited with the number of incentives. I agree with 100%. But we only have two. We have LB 775 and we have TIF. Those are the two on our plate. We are supporting the tax incentive down in the legislature right now. And if we're successful, that'll be good. That'll give us another tool. But right now, we're woefully behind in the race.
Mr. Fahey, luring new business to Omaha is vital for the city's growth. Just look at the Quest Center and the Hilton. Getting businesses here often means offering financial incentives. But how do you keep from giving away the farm and putting an extra burden on the taxpayers?
Well, I think that's one of those philosophical questions that when I was at a panel the other day at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, we talked about this thing. Either you believe that you use incentives and they do create more value than they cost, or if you don't accept that, then we're never going to have like-mindedness. I believe using incentives does further the development of our overall city. And I think the Chamber definitely believes it. The World Herald believes it. They've all endorsed this thing. The governor believes it. So I think that fact is we just need to move forward on that issue. We're woefully behind all the other states, and particularly the surrounding states. They have much more incentives than we have. And we measure ourselves right now. If we did not have LB 775, we would be ranked out of the 10 surrounding areas here, or the major cities, we'd be ranked 9th. With LB 75, the best we're ranked is 6th and 7th. We need more opportunity, more tools in there to bring more companies in here. Now, having said that, we have great opportunity. We have one of the things that no one else has here. We have a unique customer base in the Strategic Air Command, specifically Spacecom. Those are new, high-tech jobs that we're trying to work with the chambers to bring those people here. They're not competing with anybody else. Those are jobs we don't have. We've been successful. SAIC, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, to name a few that we've already bought there. There's a whole range of opportunities there we need to keep working on.
Luring new businesses without giving away the farm, so to speak, has been the entire argument behind LB 775 from its inception back in the late 80s over ConAgra until today. But we are not just competing with other major areas around the nation. We are competing with Iowa, South Dakota, Kansas. As I said earlier, we've lost just in the last 90 days a couple hundred jobs to Iowa from Omaha. My line of thinking is to offer the incentives and to make them public. Let people know what the incentives are. When they see what the long-term incentives are, when you look at LB 775, the number of jobs that were created, the number of payrolls that are then increased, the amount of spending capital that people have is all an investment into our economy. Omaha is the economic engine that drives this state. We need to make sure that we remind the legislature that this is what drives the state of Nebraska. 50% of all the taxes that come into Lincoln come from the Omaha area. And frankly, I'm not for giving away the farm, but I think the long-term investment of LB 775 would show, and other similar incentives, that we need to do that not only because it's competitive just in this general area, but if we don't do it, then we're going to lose out businesses in areas that are a lot farther away than Des Moines.
On this point, Dave and I are absolutely like-minded. We are doing that. We're working with the Chamber. The Chamber actually has a booklet of talking points that addresses the merits of LB 775 and the history we've explained. The problem we have with LB 775 as a city is the disclosure issue. We never know whether or not they're going to be taking sales tax credits or they're going to be taking income tax credits. They keep that secret, so every month it's hard to plan on that. And that's one of the problems and the challenges that I think most municipalities have with LB 775. If we could get over that hump, we'd be better off.
We agree.
Then we will move on. Mr. Friend, there has long been talk of attempting to combine administrative services provided by Omaha and Douglas County. Very little of that has been done so far. It seems to have fallen off the radar. Is this something we should be striving for? And if so, how could it be accomplished with minimal impact to employees or taxpayers?
The answer is two words. It's called a functional merger. We need to move forward with more functional mergers that do not require statutory authority, that do not require a significant change in how we provide services today, that do not require mixing up a number of different agencies and then putting them back together again many times at a higher cost under a structural merger. Functional merger could be done today between the city council, the mayor, and the county board. And in fact, they have moved on a couple of issues to create a functional merger. But this is something that does save taxpayers money in the long run, and functional merger has been shown to work as opposed to structural merger virtually every place that it's tried. Why it's fallen off the radar, you'd have to ask the people that have been in charge for the last 4 years. That would not be me.
Mr. Fay?
Well, we have been working on structural merger and functional merger for the last 3 years. It was first an idea. I appointed a task force with the cooperation of the county to look at this thing and try to find ways where we can become more efficient. One of the things we have to find ways to be more efficient. Right now, we have 1.7 million people in the state of Nebraska. We have all these ongoing demands for services. We cannot meet them with Medicare, Medicaid, all the other issues we have, all the kinds of health issues we have on the table. We have to find a way either to get more 100,000 more taxpayers or to be more efficient. I think a unified city-county government is the way to go, and I'll tell you why. If you can take the economic engine, which I think Dave is absolutely right, Omaha is, the most populated county, Douglas County, and we could show that we're willing to make some changes in the way we govern our people to gain more efficiencies, that's a great message to send to Lincoln to try to have them do the same. We've already merged parks. We've merged the IT department, very difficult. 911 we've merged. We've merged purchasing. We've merged Department of Administrative Services. We've already demonstrated that. We have several more that we'll be working on over the next couple months. What we need to do is get past that thing. As I told you, we put back off the changes at the state level until next year because of the agreement we had with the chamber. We're going to keep advocating. We're going to keep educating the legislature on the merits of this. We've already proven that if you do some of these things, we could drive savings down to the bottom line.
Mr. Friend?
I think some of the issue that we need to look at with the merger is where can we do it and how can we save money? My opponent and I differ somewhat on structural merger because of the costs up front that people are not aware of. I think merger is a good idea. I would like to point out that 911 was merged during the previous administration, and the IT departments of .com were merged by a vote of the people back in May of 2000. One of them has worked much better than the other. Ask anybody who works for .com how well they like that. But I'm in agreement that functional merger is a good idea.
Mr. Fahey.
Well, again, I think if you merge these departments, what you'll probably end up having is more savings than we realize. And I tell you where I use my example is, when we were forced into making these tough decisions over this last economic downturn at the economy, we actually shrunk the departments of public works, parks, and all those down 300 jobs, but yet we got a lot of the same services provided. So I think there's opportunity there to cross-train employees and to get more opportunity out of that.
Next question is for Mr. Fahey. If you're reelected or elected, what will be your top five priorities for the next 4 years?
Let me start down the ones I know of right off the top. We're going to continue working on our parks plan. We have 70 neighborhood parks that we have been working diligently with to repair. These have not had renovations in 15 or 20 years. We have 5 libraries that need to be renovated. We're in the process of that. We're halfway through the parks. We're about halfway through the libraries. We have to continue doing that. Those are two areas that I would not back up. We need to embrace the Omaha by Design concept and the plan. We are doing that. We've already designated the first plan, which is the Benson Alliance. We are working with the Benson Neighborhood Association, the Benson Business District up there, to come up with a unique plan that will be attractive to bringing more customers to Benson. We want to continue pushing that plan into Florence, into Millard, into those other areas like Vinton Street that would like to embrace that, the idea. We continue to work with the Chamber. Economic development is still an issue, and Dave and I are very like-minded on this thing. We need to figure out a way to hopefully get some more incentives in here to go out and bring in new businesses and to sustain the ones that are already here. Let's not forget about the businesses that are already here. We want to make sure we continue doing that things. And I think the other opportunity is we have to make sure that we're using all the tools we can to support some of the most major investment we have, which is the Convention Center Arena Hotel down there. We have to make sure that we're bringing in more conventions in there to support the unique way that we finance that facility.
Mr. Fine?
The five issues, first of all, police. We need to do a better job of answering 911 emergency calls. We need to get that down below 12 and a half minutes. There's no question about that. I've got a plan not only to reduce the amount of response time that it takes officers to arrive in an emergency, but to seriously impact and reduce crime. The second one is economic development. 50% of what we take in comes from sales tax. We need to be dedicated. We need to be very organized about working with the chamber and providing that additional assistance. The Omaha mayor should be the chief cheerleader for the city of Omaha, and that's part of economic development. That goes into my third, which is marketing. We don't do a good job of marketing ourselves, not only to the outside states, but just to this region in and of itself. Our convention visitor, the CVB, Convention Visitor Bureau, that markets Omaha is woefully underfunded. Roads would be the fourth item, and working on functional merger would be the fifth. We could immediately, if we wanted to, without legislative authority, give the City Public Works Department, if we were of a mind, to the County Engineer's Office. That's functional merger that could potentially save money and put all those issues of public works under one individual in this county. I don't think I need to say anything else about roads, but economic development is crucial. Policing, I did that for 25 years. I know what needs to be done there, and that's one of the first issues that my plan would address.
Well, first off, the CVB, if you'll recall, the CVB was under the county. It was under my administration that we brought them under the city's arm. It was because we did not have a marketing plan to market the most important asset we have in the city, the biggest investment we've ever made in the city, and that's the Convention Visitor Bureau. That happened under my watch. The county road thing was an interesting idea. We do continue to look at roads mergers and these opportunities here. But I don't see where it would make a lot of sense to merge the city road department into the county when 85% of the people live in the city and most of the roads construction, almost 3 times the number of personnel, are in the city.
My opponent is correct. He did, in fact, move the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and it did happen under his watch. So did increased crime rates. So did problems with road construction.
Mr. Friend, name some specific areas of the city budget that can be trimmed, and then also areas that can be beefed up.
I think the first area that needs to be beefed up would be in the area of public safety. I think it's also an area we could continue to provide service and trim some of the cost. I've got a plan. I've outlined it. It's on my website at friendformayor.com. It's a drop plan. It does two things. It keeps experienced, tenured police officers and firefighters on the payroll. Right now, they're coming up on a contract that allows them to retire at less than 45 years of age with less than 25 years of service. I don't have a problem with that, but we need to entice them to stay. My drop plan will save 20% of payroll for every tenured employee who goes into this plan, because eventually the city will be paying 20% into the pension system. So it's actually the same departments. Every place else, frankly, has been cut to the point where there really is no other fat left in the budget to cut. But the second prong of this approach is also economic development. How about a business-to-business plan? Well, we've got several large companies in Omaha that do not promote Buy the Big O in a business-to-business plan. How about the purchasing agents of the large companies in Omaha working with smaller companies for the services and goods they already purchase or contract out? Give first shot, same cost, I'm not asking them to spend more money, to local businesses that would then in turn put that back into the local economy. You want to increase economic development? Give our local businesses first shot at some of the off-contract purchases of goods and other items that the large companies do in Omaha every day.
Well, areas to trim, obviously the areas we're looking at where the greatest opportunity is on the functional merger side. We continue to look at each department. We analyze it. We just not go out willy-nilly and just say that we're merged for the sake of merging. We have to have a plan. We think we have a good model that we've used, certainly with parks and purchasing, that works out well. The other area would be the drop plan. Only Dave, I would say we haven't looked at the drop plan. I had the finance department examine that thing. It doesn't work. It's too expensive. It has not worked in any major city we've seen. It works well for the older officers, but it doesn't do anything to drive the cost down for the younger officers and where I think the savings are.
Mr. Friend?
I would disagree. I've seen it work in a number of different cities. It reduces, arguably, a top-paid officer's cost by 20%. What I'm talking about here is not just bottom-line dollars. What I'm talking about is keeping tenured people on board to the ripe old age of 48 or 49 or 50 years old at a 20% cost savings to the citizens of Omaha.
Mr. Fahey.
Well, I guess we respectfully disagree. I don't think you keep high-paying officers on and save any money. You're much better off than paying an officer $58,000 a year to bring in one at $32,000 a year. I just don't see. I think economics should drive this decision.
This is our final question. There will be no rebuttal here. Mr. Fahey, what is your personal stand on a footbridge over the Missouri?
A footbridge over... This is a bridge too far sometimes. It has been an ongoing issue. It was started in the past administration, I think, with all the best intents in the world. They hired one of the world premier bridge builder in FIG. The problem was they knew exactly how much money we had. The bids went out, and they came in. We had $23 million total, and the bids came in at $45 million. We brought them back in. We've set them down. We've worked on them. We got a guaranteed completion price on them right now at about $25 million. We're about $5,200,000 short of the money we have available to do this. Mayor Hanifin and I have been working together. We both come up with the idea. Why don't we both try to raise the money privately? I'm in the middle of doing that. I'm almost there on my end of it. I called Tom the other day and said, you better get busy because you've got to raise 2.6 yourself. So we're going to get it done, and it's going to be substantially the way it looks right now. It is, it's pork barrel money, and it's not like you can give it back to the government. It goes back into the general fund. It just goes to another state. So we're better off using that money or we're losing it.
Mr. Fine?
I think part of the footbridge issue that people have not concerned themselves with or asked the question about is the long-term cost. What is the maintenance and upkeep cost, and who's going to be responsible for that? I will pledge to you right now, I will not spend one dime of local tax dollars on that bridge. I will not. We need to spend our money on not what's nice to have, but on what we need to have first. And I heard my opponent say, I read it in the newspaper some time ago, that there was some consideration at one time on his part to spend tax dollars, local tax dollars, on this bridge. Frankly, it is pork barrel. If they could build it and maintain it with federal money that they've already set aside for that, obviously they wouldn't have a problem with that. But if they can't build it and maintain it with federal money, give the money to somebody else. We don't need to spend any additional local tax dollars on a pork barrel project that no one can determine down the road what the eventual maintenance upkeep cost will be on that bridge.
Okay, we have reached the end of the questioning portion of our debate. Now each candidate will have up to 2 minutes for a closing statement. Because of the coin toss, first, Mr. Fahey.
Thank you, Rob. Joey, thank you very much today. It was enjoyable, so to speak. And I want to thank everyone for coming. Certainly want to thank the Omaha Press Club for hosting this event. It's been a great experience for me. I can't imagine. It's been a great honor to be the mayor over the last 4 years. I've truly enjoyed the job. We've tried to keep our promises. We drove crime rates down 14%. We've done a good job of controlling spending. As I told you, we kept it down to 1.4% a year. I think we've removed the issue of civility in our community. Therefore, we're all able to work with the City Council to move professionally, to move the city forward. And last but not least, we have focused on the interests of our neighborhoods. This is an important issue. We established the Neighborhood Grant Program. People love those grant programs. The city is better, cleaner, safer because we initiated that program. We did the Omaha, or the Residential Street Resurfacing Program. We've resurfaced more streets in the last 4 years than they did in the last 7 years under previous administrations for less money. So we've done a great job on it. I want to say that we've enjoyed this immensely. I look forward, if you're willing to support me for 4 more years, it's been a great job. I want to thank Dave as well. It's been fun to be on the circuit with him. We've enjoyed each other's company, and I thank you all very much for coming here today. Thank you very much.
Let me also thank Rob and Julie, and I'd like to thank you, Mike, for your 4 years of service as mayor. I know it's not an easy job, and no matter what you do, somebody's always angry with you. So thank you for your service to the citizens of Omaha. You've had a chance to listen to both of us talk. We're both asking for your vote. Let me outline for you why I believe I'm the better candidate. Great leaders share a number of different characteristics. Among them, leadership. I was promoted 3 times in the police department, retired at the rank of captain. I'm currently an elected official going into my 5th year on the MUD board. My peers elected me chairman of the board this year. I think I've demonstrated my leadership abilities. Experience. I've worked every area of this city. I know Omaha. I don't pretend to know all the issues in every neighborhood, but I know Omaha, and I've got the experience in the city. I've supervised in the police department millions of dollars in budget money of both resources and people. I've supervised construction for MUD for 4 years in the Construction and Operations Committee. I know how to get the job done. I understand road construction issues. Energy is the third issue. You need to make a full-time commitment as a successful mayor in Omaha, not only to the administrative tasks at hand, but to getting out into the community, to visiting with people. I think I've demonstrated that in a high-energy, 11-month nonstop campaign that I have the energy. The next one is commitment. I am a lifelong Omaha resident, and I am committed. Everything I own is in Omaha. Everything I care about is in Omaha. My family, my friends, my neighbors. Omaha is what I have, where I've spent my entire adult life. And it just makes sense to take my commitment to Omaha to the next level, which is the Omaha mayor's office. And finally, vision. I think Omaha needs a mayor that is enthusiastic, a mayor that cares about the city, a mayor who's the chief cheerleader, a mayor who has a vision. And as a part of that vision is a person who says, I know we can do better, as a person that says, as young adults, make those career path choices that they look within Omaha, not outside of Omaha, to raise their families and to stay here and be a great part of our city. So I would ask you for your vote on May 10th.
That concludes this mayoral debate held by KETV News Watch 7 and the Omaha Press Club. Our thanks to the campaigns and the candidates, Mike Fahey and Dave Friend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today we've heard a debate between the two candidates for mayor of the city of Omaha, incumbent Mayor Mike Fahey and challenger Dave Friend. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, April 21st, 2005, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Gary Kerr for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next forum will be Thursday, May 19th at 12 noon. At that time, we'll hear a talk by noted Omaha historian Warren Franke. His topic will be 80 Years to Number 1, the Omaha Community Playhouse. If you'd like to attend this or other future forums in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.